Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning to you, the first day of November. And as promised, Laura Irish Hansen answering those lawn and garden questions along with our turf expert from the U of M, John Trappi. Good morning, Laura. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Denny and John.
Good morning, Denny.
Yes. Mom, I feel like we're on Leave It to Beaver. Hi, Mom. Hi, David. Anyway, it's good to have you both on this Saturday morning. Yeah, November already. How did that happen, right? Gee whiz. But it's and hearing those temperatures Al just mentioned, highs this week in the 50s, gives us time to talk about dormant seeding for a few more weeks, I think, at this rate. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, especially if you have a turf question, since John has joined Laura today, and we're glad he did, that take advantage of it. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. At least in our neighborhood, I don't know about you guys, but we had some sprinkles, and as they say, it's much needed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pretty dry fall, and then we've had some smattering of rain around the state the last couple weeks, but we really want to make sure we're getting that inch of rain to help protect the roots of all of our plants as they're going into dormancy. So, yeah, even a little bit of rain can help, but you might need to still go out there and water up until the ground freezes.
And, John, I know we're going to get texts about the dormant seeding. Maybe for those that are new to the show, don't know what the heck that's talking, I know we will. How do you do that? What is it, and give us directions on how to exactly do dormant seeding.
Sure. So it's really just seeding the grass at a time of year where you know it's not going to germinate. So we are focused on winter dormant seeding. So that's really anytime soil temperatures are below 40 degrees. We're getting very close to that. Really, you know, probably after about next week, I would say, I would just start letting the seed fly if you're looking to either improve an area, as in thicken it up, or if you're looking to even establish some new areas by seed. Dormant seeding is a great way of establishing lawns from seed that doesn't require any soil disturbance. You generally don't have to remove the existing residue or vegetation. Now, if you do have excessive tree leaf litter, you know, I would just try to keep that to a minimum, just that way you can ensure the seeds actually get down to the soil. And that's the beauty of dormant seeding, is that it takes advantage of that freeze-thaw cycle, and you get all winter to get snow, rain, anything else to get the seed down to the soil that's so critical for germination. And then it just germinates and emerges in the spring, and it's a pretty maintenance-free way of establishing a lawn. Generally, you don't have to irrigate it, but if things do dry out in the spring, you have to water it just a little bit, but a lot less than you would any other time of year.
Yeah, I think I'll do that again this year myself. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Jim checking in from St. Francis, I believe. Jim, thank you. What is your question?
My question is regarding the growth from my my asparagus plantation. It's grown up to about three and a half, four feet, and it's obstruction for my wildlife observations. Would it be anything wrong with me cutting it back to about, say, 8 to 12 inches off the ground? By doing that, am I endangering next spring's growth, asparagus growth?
All right, that's a great question. So if you're thinking about cutting it back now, that's fine. You can do that because most of those leaves, those they look like little fronds, very thin leaves, have already captured a whole bunch of sunlight and put a lot of energy down into those crowns for next year's, so next spring's asparagus. So you'd be totally fine cutting them back now. Just for everybody else who may be listening, I don't recommend cutting them down early in the summer or even in late summer, because we want to leave those tall asparagus up as long as possible so they can create more sugars to store down in the crown, so you have a really good crop for the following year. So try to hold off on cutting those back until, I'd say, at least September if you can.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Let's move to Waverly, Minnesota. Bill is there with a question. Thank you, Bill. What is your question?
Well, I got some Jack in the Pulpit seeds, and I wonder how you got to cut them out in the winter. They got to need the cold treatment before they grow.
Yeah, that's another great question. So if you have the Jack in the Pulpit seeds now, you can actually, just like with the turf, do kind of a dormant seeding, and you can put them out in your garden where you want them to grow and let them just get that cold treatment naturally. So that's my favorite way to do a lot of our native perennials in Minnesota, is I just put the seed out mid-winter time usually and let them just go through winter naturally. You can try to force the seeds in your fridge you can do it between like a moist paper towels in a Ziploc bag, but you do need to be careful that it's not standing water in that bag and that it also doesn't dry out or get moldy. So that is something you can do if you want to force it and then start those seedlings indoor in the spring to transplant out next summer.
Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Texter says they have a peach tree that they need to put away for the winter. What would you suggest? How would you do that? What's the process of saving that tree over winter?
Sorry, my brain automatically went to like an itty-bitty like bonsai for some reason, which I know that's not what they're probably talking about. So if it's a peach tree that's in the ground, they are most susceptible to late winter, early spring, like frost, once the blooms have started opening up. So if you're worried about that for not getting fruit next year, you're going to want to end up covering up those trees if there's going to be early frost in the spring, or late frost in spring. For protecting the plant itself, it depends on how big it is and how much work you want to put into it. But for the most part, as long as you're protecting those roots, you have a nice mulched area and you've been watering it throughout, it should be okay. You're probably going to have some dieback on some of the canopy, but you'll know that coming into spring if you need to do pruning. But it is a fruit tree, so definitely make sure if you have any crossing branches or anything like that, that you take those out this winter.
John, I'm looking at a text that says this: if I put down fall fertilizer, should I use some with weed control as well? Will that help to control the weeds come spring?
At this point, I would abstain from fertilizing the lawn anymore. I would just honestly save the product, especially if you've already purchased it. Just save it in a dry spot that's free from moisture. The reason being is we want to fertilize plants when they can actively take it up. And now most of the grass plants that are, that are alive right now are probably not going to take up very much of those nutrients. Even with us having temperatures in the 50s, we might have just a couple more days of growth type of scenario. So I would just hang on to that. You can use it in the springtime. Now, with that said, generally, I like to avoid recommending weed and feed type products because, you're basically spreading a herbicide to your lawn wherever you're fertilizing, regardless of whether or not weeds are there. And our strategy that we recommend is to spot treat weeds so that way you just have a more targeted approach for which weeds you're trying to manage. Now, if you already own it, yeah, like I said, feel free to apply it, but I would just wait until after about your first or second mowing in the springtime, at which point feel free to go ahead and fertilize and or spread that weed and feed.
All right, very good. Time for a quick break. We will invite our listeners, of course, to join in on our Lawn and Garden Show, our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we've actually lost a degree in the past hour. Past hour, 39 is our current temp, heading to 44, but a nice Sunday tomorrow near 53 with a partly sunny sky. Again, 39. Don't forget, turn your clocks back 1 hour. We lose daylight saving time overnight tonight, so get that extra hour of sleep. Turn your clocks back 1 hour. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We have callers. We have texters. And if you're just joining us this morning, Laura Irish Hansen and John Trappi from the U of M are answering those lawn and garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226. And Laura and John, as usual, we have many. I'm looking at a text, then we'll get back to the phones. Is it too early? A texter says to wrap and protect the trunks of young trees.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm so glad someone brought it up because I was going to bring it up if someone didn't. It is not. You can start putting on white tree guards around those trunks of the trees, particularly for newly planted trees, at least the first 2 to 3 years. And if it's a thin-barked tree, even up to 5 will help protect them. And the key here is only put white guards up. Do not put brown paper, anything that is a color that the sun is going to warm up, because it'll actually make that frost crack that we see in those trunks worse. So if you have, you know, any of the drain tile left over, that's usually a black color, and you're like, oh, I'll put that around my tree. Please don't do that, because you'll actually make frost cracks worse.
Interesting. All right.
Oh, and we have a webpage all about protecting trees and shrubs in winter if you want to read more about it.
I'm glad you brought that up, Laura. We always like to tell folks, direct folks for that great reading, some great information. extension.umn.edu. Both Laura and John have put some a lot of good information on that website. extension.umn.edu. We will really remind you of that. Then we'll get back to the phones in a second, but do I gain anything, well, a listener wants to know, by not picking all of my green tomatoes while we still have frost-free nights?
No, they're not going to ripen likely, just because the temperatures aren't warm enough during the days. And so I would pick them and make some fried green tomatoes personally.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would do.
Right now, in fact, that'd be good, as a matter of fact. All right, let's get back to the phones. Henry's first up. You're calling in from Rogers, I believe. Thank you, Henry. What is your question?
I got a 3 or 4 branches on my old tree that's overhanging, and I know you're not supposed to trim them until it gets like a good frost, but is it safe to trim branches that are about maybe an inch in diameter?
That's a great question. I would personally hold off just a few more weeks, because we are having kind of a warm fall. At least it seems to me it's a little warmer. So if you can hold off, yeah, just at least a few more weeks until we know that there's much less likelihood that the insects that are really devastating to oaks and carry disease to oaks aren't active. That's the best thing we can do. So if you can hold off a little bit, do that.
All right. Bob in Woodbury is next up on the phone. Bob, thank you for waiting. What is your question for Laura and John?
Hi, I have a bougainvillea plant that I've grown in a pot during the summer, and now I'm planning to bring it in and try to save it for the next year. And my question really is, should I trim it back to keep the old growth there or not? That's really my question. And also, you know, how sturdy are they when it gets down to around 32? Can it withstand any cold weather like that or not?
Yeah, but it's a beautiful plant. My parents grow them usually. Yeah, so you can trim them back, particularly if it's gotten very tall or leggy and it's a little difficult to bring in the house or you don't have room for it. So you can trim it back as long as you are babying it a little bit indoors too, just over the winter. So if you are doing some severe cutbacks, just make sure that you're monitoring the soil moisture so it doesn't dry down too hard between waterings, or don't over baby it and water it so it's always got wet soil. It won't like that. And then the temperature. They typically do not like that. So if you can avoid that, I would minimum recommend bringing those in starting at around 45, 40 degree nights, just because you can really shock those plants and they can end up having some dieback.
John, we've been receiving this question each week, and we're all waiting for you to return to the show. So I'm going to ask it now, take advantage. Tell us what this is. Is C20, C20 effective for aerating soil for lawns? What is that?
Well, it's a product that is uses several different forms of carbon, and you know, from the marketing standpoint, it's purported to increase aeration, or to basically improve soil aeration, much like what we normally recommend with, which is mechanical aeration. And now, so far, the only thing that has worked reliably in peer-reviewed trials for increasing soil aeration is the mechanical disturbance of using core aeration, or pulling those plugs or pulling cores to aerate soil. Now, there might be some other benefits to some other products that are using, carbon soil amendments. In the context of the question of if it helps with aeration, I'm a little bit skeptical until I see some university data or some kind of published literature that says that it actually works. If you are going to try it, one thing I would recommend is just leaving an area untreated and just seeing if you're seeing a positive response. I think that goes, anytime you're curious about a product, always consider leaving something that's untreated. So that way you can actually just see if it's working on a very small scale. I think there is always a healthy amount of skepticism that you can use anytime you're trying out a new product like that.
All right. I know we're up against the clock. We're going to look at that forecast in order to alert our phone callers to hang in there. This texter saved, it says, my Becca daisies spent flower pods. Will they grow from these seeds next spring? Is it a perennial?
I'm not familiar with that cultivar of the daisy, so I honestly don't know if it'll come true to type or not. My hunch is that it's not going to come back true to type, but yeah, I'll have to. What was the cultivar name?
Yeah, it's spelled Becca, Becca Daisy. Maybe during the break you could do a little research, a little homework, and we'll come back after the weather. In the meantime, I'm going to alert Pat and Lee on the phone. Stay there. We're going to look at that forecast, come back with more of our Smart Garden Show here. Don't forget, turn your clocks back 1 hour, losing daylight saving time overnight tonight, so you'll get an extra hour of sleep. Stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Laura Irish Hansen and John Trappi from the U of M. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, welcome this morning at 651-461-9226. I've got to ask you both, and this is one of my favorite times of the year anyway, but at the Arboretum, so much is going on any time of the year, but this is really a fun time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous right now. Even though we've been getting a little bit of wind and rain, I was just out at the farm at the Arb yesterday at work, and a lot of the trees are still gorgeous, and shrubs. I want to remind people to look at all the beautiful shrubs that we have in Minnesota with their gorgeous fall color. So, yeah, it's pretty fun to walk around right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, you're there too, aren't you?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's not a bad place to go to the office, for sure.
Oh, so
and right now is just absolutely stunning. I think one of the prettiest falls I can remember.
Yeah, I got to get out there this week, I think. And the Apple House, too, for that matter. All right. Let's see. Oh, we've got a bunch of callers. Let me grab this one text, and we get this often as John knows. How short should I cut the lawn for the last time before winter, and should I bag the clippings?
Several different things there. So I would just gradually lower your lawn height as you're getting closer to winter. Now, you don't have to, but it can help a little bit with mulching the tree leaves as you're mowing your lawn. The other thing that it does is it helps the lawn green up a little bit faster in the spring. And finally, the other benefit that, gradually lowering your height to about 2 inches or so is about the lowest I would go. Really, anywhere between 2 and 3 inches is perfect for going into the winter. Now, the other benefit behind lowering is it potentially reduces the effects or reduces the amount of snow mold. So there is some benefit to that. But again, I would just try to gradually mulch those tree leaves as you're mowing and return as much of those nutrients as you possibly can as you're mowing.
Very good. All right, back to the phones we go. Pat, first up, calling from St. Cloud, Minnesota this morning. Thank you for your patience, Pat. What is your question?
Good morning. My question is, last year I lost a lot of my leaves that I was using for insulation over the plants because of the wind. I was wondering, I probably will use chicken wire on some of the plants to cover them with leaves and stuff, but can I just leave some of the leaves in the plastic bag and place that over the plant, or is plastic and will that suffocate them? Or that's about it.
Yeah, that's a really great question. So the beauty of putting the leaf mulch directly on a lot of our perennial plants or, to help insulate is that they can get pretty close to those plants and then have little air pockets that are going to help, just in lots of ways. If you're going to be trying to put around like plastic bags or anything like that, that's going to be can hold a lot of moisture and also just cause some other issues. So I wouldn't recommend doing that if you can prevent it. But saying that, if all those leaves have been blowing away and you don't have enough chicken wire to kind of help hold it down. If you can just kind of, oh, wow, I just realized you can't see my hands. It's the morning. So if you can imagine a plant and then you put the bags around it like in a little circle and then have one on top, that might help protect the crowns. But it really just depends on what plants you're trying to protect.
Just hold your hands up to the microphone and they'll be able to.
Yeah.
Let's go. Thank you, Pat. Lee is calling in from Zimmerman, I believe, this morning. Thank you, Lee. What is your question? Lee may be gone. How about Julie? Julie is calling in from Stillwater this morning. I hope Julie's there. Hi, Julie.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. I have a question for John. Is it too late to maybe kill the grass? I have so much quack grass or something that's not normal grass, and then do dormant seeding later this fall?
That's actually something that we have been doing quite a bit of research on. It is not too late to, if you use like a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate, you can treat now. Traditional lawn grasses, most of them can be killed in a single application, and you can successfully renovate your entire lawn using this strategy if you wanted to convert to, say, a lower input turf grass or species. If it is quack grass, that generally takes a few applications to kill it off. Not really, you have to wait for regrowth because of all of the rhizomes and underground storage structures. It's very difficult to kill quack grass in one single application, but I would definitely recommend you to try. If you are convinced it is quack grass, you may want to wait until next year and start a little bit sooner. But if you're really impatient, a lot like I am, I say go for it right now and see how much success you have. Kill it now, and then just go ahead and dormant seed as soon as soil temperatures get down below 40 degrees, which is probably happen about in the next 7 to 10 days.
Very good. Let's grab one more phone call, then we'll look at some text messages. Gail is next on the phone, calling in from Egan. Hi, Gail. What is your question?
When and how should I cut my hydrangea back? And do I cut the entire plant back, or I'm not, and it's a well-established large plant. So that's my question.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's really going to depend on the type of hydrangea that you have. If you have a panicle hydrangea, you can prune them back now. And you can prune them just above a big, what we call like a big fat bud, which is just the flowering bud for next year. I'm going to say we do have a whole webpage on extension.umn.edu. all on pruning hydrangeas, and we have a really great video as well. So for anyone who wants to see it actually, how we prune hydrangeas, we do have a video there. If you have a big leaf hydrangea, those ones, they're actually forming buds in late summer to early fall, so you actually don't want to prune those in right now. You want to wait until after those ones finish blooming in the summer. So for the big leaf hydrangeas, hold off until they're done blooming next year. And then those are the two big ones that most people have.
All right. I'm looking at a text question for John. It says, I have a cabin near two harbors and see the long-term forecast. Highs in the 50s, lows in the 30s. Is this too warm for dormant seeding?
A common theme. You can tell the good word has been spread on dormant seeding.
Absolutely.
I would just hold off just a little bit, you know. But if you see, you know, if you live there in well, it sounds like it's a cabin. I would just try to wait just a little bit longer, though. Really, the only reason why we want to wait right now is just in case we want to make sure that none of that grass seed germinates yet this fall or early winter. So we are really just, you get the entire winter to do it. You just want to make sure you're just a little bit conservative in the sense that you're waiting to a point when no grass seed is going to germinate, which is probably going to happen in about another week or 10 days.
All right. Laura, the texter says this, is the parsley in my garden still good to eat, or is it at some point too far in the growing season?
I mean, I eat parsley all through the winter in my garden, so I'm not a food safety expert, but I'm going to say it's probably just fine for you to eat. It is a biennial, so if it does overwinter, just know that next year it's probably going to send up a flowering stalk, and sometimes that can make the parsley taste a little bit more bitter. So if you do get it to start forming a flower stalk, it could change the flavor a little bit.
John, I'm looking at a text that says, should I fertilize over dormant seeding?
With respect to dormant seeded turf or areas, I would wait until about the second mowing or so. And that's, again, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you just want to make sure that the plants are able to take up the nutrients that you're putting down. The nitrogen is the nutrient we're the most concerned about. It's also the one that's the most mobile. So of the nutrients that you would be fertilizing. So I would just wait until the second mowing in the springtime.
All right. We were given, texture says, two huge fern plants. How much water do you think they'll require?
A lot.
Really?
Sorry. It depends on how big they are, but ferns can be quite, depending on where you're putting them in your home, they can be pretty big water hogs. And if you have them in a sunnier location or a particularly dry area that's getting direct airflow from, say, like a vent, a heat exchange, just keep monitoring the soil. So put your finger down at least an inch to make sure that those plants are getting consistent moisture. Because if they do dry out too much, you'll actually lose a lot of those leaves. They'll start turning brown.
I'm looking at a text that I think we get quite often over all these years. Texture says, last fall, we took down three very large silver maple trees. We are having a hard time getting grass seed to grow there. We added black soil, fertilizer, and use good grass seed. Do you have any ideas?
I would recommend a soil test because if you're really struggling to get something to germinate, maybe, you know, the adding the soil, you're probably also adding some nutrients with that, but maybe it's not enough. That would be my starting point with doing that. And then if you're still struggling, if the soil test report comes back that everything is, you know, in the recommended range, the University of Minnesota does have a soil testing laboratory. You know, you're welcome to use really any certified soil test lab, but, you know, right here, it's very affordable. And they also provide recommendations that, you know, I've helped create. So I would recommend the University of Minnesota Soil Testing Lab as the starting point. Just make sure that your pH is appropriate and look at your phosphorus and potassium levels. But then after that, if you're still struggling, I would just consider contacting a lawn care professional and see if they have some recommendations that are, you know, about the site. The other thing that you might be able to do is go to the Ask Extension, and you can get that through the extension.umn.edu website, and you can go to Ask a Master Gardener to get some help there with taking photos and sharing those, and we can maybe help see some other issue with the site on why the grass seed is not germinating.
All right, very good. Hang on, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I want to grab a phone call. Lee from Zimmerman is back. Thank you, Lee, for another try. What is your question this morning?
So I guess it's a small tree, not a bush or a plant. It's called a hydrangea tree. You know, they're about 5-6 feet tall or whatever. And last fall, I trimmed it back until it was about the size of a 2-foot ball. My first time doing it, and this year it got really big, bloomed really big, branches broke. I've looked online. I don't know how to trim that back to get bushes, because it says not to do till fall, and if you trim it the wrong way, you won't get flowers.
Yeah, so the way you pruned it last year and you got it to flower this year, that's likely what you should be doing. Unfortunately, sometimes if they get really aggressive growth, those stems, they can't support the weight of the heads of the hydrangeas, the flowers themselves. And other than, I don't think that we have any growth regulators to slow that growth down for homeowners. You can try to thin out the stems so you have more sunlight hitting more of the interior stems, because that can help make those each individual stem shorter because auxin's broken down. I don't know why I just said that out loud to everyone, but anyway, so you could try to thin out the interior of it for next year, but they're big, beautiful blooms that are super heavy, and it just sometimes is what happens.
Laura and John, before we break, Laura, I think you did a little homework about that Becca daisy. What did you find out?
Yeah, so I tried looking up Becca daisy, and I just kept getting Becky Shasta daisy. So it's a leucanthemum. If it is a Shasta daisy, those are hardy, particularly this one, Becky, is hardy to zone 4. But we usually treat Shasta daisies more like short-lived perennials. Are not, they don't typically live for very many years. And usually for the cultivars, if you want that same one, so you liked the way that flower performed, those are propagated asexually with like cuttings or divisions over time. But you can try to collect and save the seed and just sprinkle it around wherever you want that to grow next year, because they germinate pretty well in the spring. They don't need a cold period, so you can hold off if you want to clip the flower heads, dry them down, and keep them in a cool, dark place this winter, and then put the seeds out in the spring. You can try that.
Very good. Hang on, Laura and John. We'll take a quick break. Be right back on the other side with more Smart Garden. Don't forget, next hour, Andy Lindis will be answering any kind of a home improvement question you may have. That's straight ahead here. News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just tuning in, Laura Irish Hansen and John Trappi from the U of M answering those very lawn and garden questions. We have a bunch we're not going to get to. I apologize for that. We just get so busy. And callers, too. I tell you what, let's do this. Dorothy is calling in from Minneapolis. Then we'll grab some text messages. Thank you, Dorothy. What is your question?
I'm wondering if it's too late to spray for Creeping Charlie.
It is not too late. You can treat it basically until the ground is frozen. Just make sure you check the label of the product that you purchased. There'll be some directions in there that will tell you that. But generally, triclopyr, the active ingredient that is in those Creeping Charlie treating products, has information that says do not apply until or to frozen soil. So it works really well. Right now is the best time of year to treat for Creeping Charlie.
All right. Laura Texter says this: I received a Christmas cactus approximately a month ago. What should I be doing with it now so I can have it bloom?
Yeah, so if it is a true, there are three types of what we call Christmas cactus. There's actually Thanksgiving cactus, Christmas cactus, and Easter cactus. And they are going to bloom based on the day length shortening. So as long as you have it in, I put mine in a east-facing window at my house on the southeast corner, and it blooms reliably just around the holidays just because the days are gradually shortening. So if you were given it and it was hopefully grown in an area where it was getting at least 12 hours of light and then that's decreasing, that will help. Just make sure you don't let the soil dry down too much between watering because that can actually make those flower buds that will start forming to drop off.
Okay. I'm looking at a text that says, ask this, can dormant seeding be done with, quote, bee-friendly lawn seeds? They have a patch of lawn on the north side between my house and my neighbor's house that is very thin. That comes from Dave in Richfield. What do you think,
John? Yeah, absolutely. That's actually how we establish many different bee lawn areas, whether they're for demonstrations or for research purposes. You know, really, it works with almost any type of seed, but especially those smaller seeds that just need some time to get down into the soil.
Peonies are still green, Texter says. Do we still wait to cut them down?
I would definitely wait to cut them down. And if they don't have any disease or anything on their leaves, you can actually leave them up for quite a while and then remove them early in the spring. But if you see any disease on them, like spots on the leaves, I would definitely recommend removing them before they get covered in snow.
There's a follow-up question via text on the Mandeville plant. Bringing in outside pots, how much do you trim back?
It really depends on how big of a plant you have and It depends on how big the plant is right now and how big you want it to get in your home if it starts pushing any growth for wherever you're putting it. Usually you can trim them back if you have like a 4-foot vine. If you trim it about halfway back, it should be just fine.
Okay. Years ago, Texter says, we planted some wild geraniums in our flower garden, and they look great with their little violet flowers in the spring. But now it's gone crazy, growing into our hostas and multiple varieties of lilies. Short of digging them out one by one, how can we get rid of them?
Digging is really the best thing you can do, particularly when they're entwined with other broadleaf perennial plants. So I wouldn't recommend spraying if you can avoid it, just because you could damage those other wanted plants. So yeah, the wild geraniums can spread pretty quickly, but they're not too difficult to pull compared to some of our other plants. So if you can be really diligent, and if you want, pull more than you think you want to keep, because those plants that you leave for next year are going to creep and spread.
Kind of a follow-up to John, is now a good time to put down winterizer? Can they still do that on the lawn?
Yeah, so winterizer are just standard lawn fertilizer products. There really is no difference other than the fact that they have just a little bit more potassium. There was some research that was done quite a while ago that showed that potassium can help harden lawns before the winter. Now, with that said, like I mentioned, it's probably too late for most of Minnesota. If you're in the southern fourth of Minnesota or so, maybe you can, you know, maybe you're still getting enough growth to where fertilizing would be recommended. But otherwise, I would just hold off on that. And you can still use a winterizer fertilizer in the springtime. Like I said, there's fundamentally no difference between that and other fertilizer products, just a little bit more potassium.
And Jenna, Laura, now that I'm thinking about it, directing folks to the website, extension.umn.edu, there is a section for lawn care that you're part of, right? It's really a lot of great information there.
Yes, absolutely. So we have a lot of great resources that are lawn care related. We have a webpage on dormant seeding if folks are haven't read that already. We have some great other great resources like fertilizing your lawns, lawn aeration, really basically all your lawn care questions. So definitely check that out if you're looking for a deeper dive into some of the things we've been talking about here.
Laura, a texter wants to know, and I know we just have about a minute to go, can I trim the dead branch off my Japanese maple?
Yes, if you do have a dead branch, and particularly if it's a hazard in some way, you definitely want to make a clean prune cut. Just be really careful. If it's a large branch, please call a certified arborist and follow safe practices. We do have a webpage that outlines the proper pruning techniques, so how you should take a load-bearing cut and all of those things. So definitely check out our webpage on proper pruning cuts.
Let's do a real quick one here. I have an area in my lawn that has a small sinkhole where the lawn has depressed into the ground, area of 3 by 3 feet. Can I remove the top of the grass, dig down, remove the top of the lawn, put black dirt underneath, and then replace the sod grass over the top?
You can do that. That's one strategy. The other thing you can do is just slowly raise it up over time. So just take any kind of compost you have and slowly just keep adding it to it. The lawn will grow up through it.
Build it
and then
up.
You don't have to worry about your soil being incompatible. Good
John
luck.
And Laura, Laura and John, we got to run. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for helping our listeners out as you do each Saturday morning. And I know we'll talk soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking forward to
have
it.
A great November start.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laura and John.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.